Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Very cool.
That's a good get on.
Every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell. We are live once again from SEC Media Days, downtown Atlanta at the Omni Hotel. We got plenty to talk about today, though. The Hawks apparently are trying to move Dennis Schroeder, and you won't imagine who is involved in this trade if, in fact, it goes down. We'll get into that, as well as Kawhi Leonard finally finding a new home. Big moves in the NBA. Of course, last night, the MLB All-Star Game, and a big shout-out to all the Braves, man, that participated. Obviously, Freddie and Albies. Fulte looked good last night, so we'll get into all of that along the way. And, of course, today, Mike, Nick Saban is here for SEC Media Days.
Yeah, man, the Dark Lord rolls in, which kind of takes us up to another level, ratchets up the excitement. And there's actually some Alabama fans that made the trip, either where they live here in Metro Atlanta, that were in the lobby when he rolled in. But Nick holding court and earlier today. And, you know, it's interesting because everybody wants to take that quarterback controversy and pump some air into that fire. But Nick was having none of that. And we'll play some of the sound bites for you a little bit later.
All right, man, as we get this show started today, and of course we'll hear from Coach Saban, who's at the podium as we were speaking, as we got the show started literally 5-6 minutes ago. Also, you'll get a chance to hear from Jeremy Pruitt. Mike and I have said this all along. For Tennessee fans, it may not be this year, but I think you guys got the right coach. And Pruitt joined the Midday guys today. You know, he is all about it, Mike. And I don't know if this is true. We've never got this confirmed. But you remember when he joined Mark Richt's staff? And I kind of thought, we talked about this a little bit. There might have been some dissension there because of the way Pruitt wanted to do things and maybe toughen guys up versus the way Rick was doing things currently.
Yeah, that was the narrative, and we heard it from more than one person. You actually probably read about it in some of the blogs and some of the chat rooms and stuff, but the feeling being that it's almost a kind of a jump start to what Kirby was trying to do. Take some of that Nick Saban mindset and infuse that into what Georgia was doing under Mark Richt, and there was some pushback from members of Rick's staff, and obviously the rest is history. You know, getting tougher physically, getting bigger in the weight room, being tougher on the O-line, all the things which, you know, Kirby was a mandate when he came in. And obviously, well, Mark Richt was always a good recruiter, but Kirby's taken it to another level. And we've read the articles of Mark Bradley. I've read Jeff Schultz's new piece in The Athletic, by the way, today, or whenever he posted it, talking about how, you know, Mark Richt did a nice job, but this is going to be a new level with Kirby, and it should be off and running. So it should be sustained greatness, which Dawg fans have demanded, and hopefully you're going to get.
I think they will. I don't know how immediate it will be, but for those who missed that interview, you'll get a chance to hear from Jeremy Pruitt, the new head football coach at Tennessee. Also, Coach Moorhead at Miss State, the new guy there, and he's taken over a team that's very talented. Dan Mullen did not leave the cupboards bare, and so Miss State on the radar of a lot of people this year, and Miss State also here today. So all the SEC stuff we'll get to, but Mike, as we start this conversation, and I want to get on this NBA stuff because it concerns our Hawks. We said all along that Dennis Schroeder was going to be gone at some point. How the Hawks are going to do this, we were not sure. But today, the rumor that is out there, the report, guys, is that the Hawks are in talks with the Oklahoma City Thunder to trade for Carmelo Anthony. Now, as I said on Twitter, relax. I don't believe that Melo's going to be here long term. This is a move to basically rid themselves of Dennis Schroeder. I don't think that there's any thought right now in anybody's mind that he's going to be on the floor with Trae Young when the season starts. But from a salary standpoint, guys, in the NBA, salaries have to match up.
Right.
So this deal includes trading for Carmelo. Muscala would potentially be involved in the deal. Obviously, Dennis Schroeder. I'm not worried about what Oklahoma City does with him. What I'm worried about is moving forward, what happens? And I think the biggest thing for the Hawks right now is they don't want him. So this is a way to move him.
Now, here's the thing with Carmelo, for guys who haven't been following, the way it works, he gets, what, $27 million. So you're just going to just dump him and take that hit because it's less of a hit than absorbing what Dennis Schroeder's contract with the 3 years remaining on
Correct.
It. So even though technically you'd be losing 27, it's still less than what you'd be by holding on to Schroeder, or if you just want to cut Schroeder outright. I asked you earlier, I said, you have no interest in having Melo out there for a few weeks and see if the fans show up? I mean, I don't think it drives anybody to the ticket window necessarily, but I'm just throwing it at you. And then what if Melo, you know, wasn't a black hole and all of a sudden was really into it? I know these are all real, like, you know, if need some unicorns to ride in the room right now. And what if Melo really was dialed in and you could hold on to him and get him traded at the trade deadline, which, of course, again, not going to happen, but.
Yeah,
that's a rosy scenario.
And a guy just hit me up, and let's give him some love. Follow us on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's 929 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. My man Tyler. Mm-hmm. Ty says, man, I've been a big Melo fan for a long time. The fact that we would buy him out, it kind of hurts. Here's the deal.
But that's his worth in life right now in the NBA, unfortunately.
If there was legitimate trade value for Carmelo Anthony, it would have happened already.
Right.
Okay. This is an attempt for Oklahoma City to save millions of dollars moving forward that they don't want to be stuck with,
right.
And that's why they want to move on from Melo. For us, it's an opportunity for us to move a player that, let's be realistic, just I don't think he has a future here. He doesn't fit with what Travis Link wants to do. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win for everybody. And now that Paul George resigned, I don't know where Melo fits. Remember, Mike, he didn't want to come off the bench. That was the other part of this.
Right.
He thinks he's a starter, wants to be a starter. I think he'd be a great six man on some good teams in the NBA. But this allows Melo, if it plays out this way, guys, for him to basically pick and choose where he wants to go. And then we'll see what happens. But I just don't think he's a draw anymore.
You think Melo would wind up in L.A.? But, again, didn't want to come off the bench.
Right.
I mean, there's only a finite amount of places where it would make sense. But first things first, you're getting Schroeder off the books. It does make financial sense, albeit, by what, about $20 million, you know, you're going to save. So I get it. And we say goodbye to Moose. You know, Muscala was a nice role player for a couple of years.
Yes, he was.
But, I mean, I don't think anybody was going down to Phillips to see the Moose. So, yeah, it's all part of it. We said, guys, it's like turning a battleship. It wasn't going to happen, you know, in a minute. It's going to take a while to get this thing back on track. But this is one way to get Dennis Schroeder off the books if you're a Hawks fan.
Basically, the Thunder are trying to avoid a huge luxury tax penalty. That's why they want to move Melo. And for them, this mm-hmm. is simply about money now.
Yeah, they're way over.
Correct. And this is just about saving money. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at SEC Media Days. We're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up with our national signing bonus contest. Yes, we will talk about the All-Star game last night. And by the way, all I want is entertaining. You know, do I really care who wins? No, I get it. The American League has won 6 in a row now, whatever right. it is. But at the end of the day, Mike, I didn't lose sleep last night because they won again. But I did enjoy the fact that it was an entertaining game.
Well, one thing was really cool. If you're an Astros fan, I mean, we talked about how much you're hoping the Braves are going to be on the cusp of maybe doing what Houston is in the middle of. Not only do you win the World Series, you go into – and by the way, it's almost a replay of the World Series. So you got a Dodger reliever on the bump.
That's right.
You got back-to-back home runs after – if you didn't see it last night. It was a lot of cool little storylines. You got little Scooter for the Reds goes yard. I mean, everybody went yard. Set a record for home runs last night, but then the Astros go back-to-back yard with Bregman and Springer, and the American League wins again. But it was exciting, and it's also kind of a microcosm of what baseball is. Launch angle, it's really home runs or strikeouts, and that's what you got last night.
It really is, man. It was fun to watch, and again, you know, none of our guys got hurt. I'm knocking on wood, they got.
Mm-hmm.
And let's turn the page and get ready for the second half of the season, which ironically starts in Washington for our Braves. But to me, this is where that switch has to be turned on if you're going to make some hay as far as separating yourself
right.
from the top of this division. Because if you don't, Mike, you know, a lot of people think right now, based on how we're built, we're a wild card team. We're not a yeah. division winner.
Now the question is, when do you make some moves, and what are those moves? We know that Machado, now it's like a fait accompli. He's going to go to the Dodgers. So Manny to the Dodgers. How about Ken Rosenthal last night? Was he Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes? It's the All-Star game, bro. Relax.
How do you feel about the last time being in an Orioles uniform?
It's like,
this is your last time in an Orioles uniform.
Were you miss Buck Showalter? No, I mean, but it was tell us your feelings right now. Well, I'm just trying to enjoy the game, man. You know, it's an all-star game, so why don't you get off my back? So Machado did the best to keep it cool, and needless to say, Rosenthal was going to get what he was looking for last night. But it kind of reminded me a little bit of Jim, was it Jim Gray with Pete, Gray. Pete Rose here in Atlanta in 2000. Pete, don't you want to give us an act of contrition in front of the fans, Pete? But anyway, so Rosenthal was trying to get it. You know what I did find interesting before we get to the sounding bonus and your chance at $1,000? I was telling Carl before the game, you know, I've kind of softened a little bit on Joe Buck over the years. You know, we used to kill Joe Buck.
Sure.
I thought it was kind of fun when he was talking to Lindor and then the Rockies outfielder, the kid with the beard, Squid. Anyway, yeah, him. But it was kind of fun to watch in the interplay with Smoltz and Joe Buck during the game as it was going on. It was kind of neat.
I think that if you were to tell me he's not his dad,
right.
And that's no disrespect. Have you ever heard Jack Buck? If you got a chance to listen to his broadcast, the legendary Jack Buck for the Cardinals, he was one of a kind. But Joe does a pretty damn good job with baseball.
Right.
I do think he's actually better at football. That's me. And I just think to follow in the shoes of your dad, being who he was, that's hard to live up to in the baseball world. But because, you know, I think he does a really good job of football. But, yeah, I agree. It was entertaining. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Village. Mike, you know it takes a village.
Yes, it takes a village to make a radio show here at the Omni. Guys, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E. Village goes to 72881, man. That is our hour this hour for the 2 o'clock. The word is village for your shot at $1,000.
All right, and do not text and drive, guys. We'll continue to do this each and every hour.
And by the way, for guys that are new to the station, where you been? We've given away on our program alone $20,000 over the years. This is what, our fourth year now of doing the contest?
It is.
We've had a lot of big winners. Sometimes they're far-flung places all over Metro Atlanta and out in the burbs in the country, but you text the word village to 72881, then hopefully you get a phone call from the radio guys and you get the loot. Good
All
luck.
Right. We're going to come back. We'll hit some headlines. We'll tell you what else is going on in the world of sports. We'll hear from dun, 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 dun. That's Nick Saban's music. And also, what Fulte have to say after last night's All-Star experience. You'll hear it next on Dukes and Bell.
This year, the SEC Media Days come to Atlanta.
And we've got you covered live.
With Dukes and Bell. Home of the hard-hitting SEC.
And home for SEC Media Days.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. As we got the show started, I got to be honest, Mike, we jumped right into things. And it was kind of hectic with the midday show. And we honestly forgot to say our hey, man. Which we love our listeners because they're like, dude. How could you not start the show with a hey, man?
A day without hey, man is like a day without sunshine. So we like to start every hour, every show by saying,
hey, man. And it gives us an opportunity also to tell you, go get our brew. A guy tweet at us,
right.
And he said he's heading out to Oconee. Can I get the brew at the brewery? I was like, duh. And then Oconee hit him back. Yes, you can stop by and get some. We're going to have some at Twin Peaks on Friday.
Yeah, I was told by Dutch, I believe we're going to have two kegs because we ran out last time because the demand was that great. So get your butt out to Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Friday, guys. And you can sample our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing Company, which is it's hot. And now the cans are in. I mean, they look great. Can't wait to get the brew in the can in the store. And you can go buy it at your favorite package store. But Georgia Crown is handling the distribution for us. And a lot of new bars and restaurants are picking it up, so it's going to be a blast. But more importantly, guys like it. People are digging it, and so they're really enjoying the flavor of our tasty brew that the Taylor the Brewmaster whipped up.
No doubt about it, man. And it's coming in cans in stores very soon, as we've been talking about. And as soon as it is, trust us, we'll let you guys know. Hey, we're broadcasting live from SEC Media Days. As we mentioned today, a lot of conversation about Nick Saban. And before we get to some headlines, Mike and I were kind of joking around. You know, Saban... You know, you see him in the suit, right? Kind of looks like a mobster in the sense that he's in total control.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to let anybody ask him anything stupid and go there and say something crazy. But realistically, you know, as Mike and I were joking around, wouldn't it be great if Saban just got up to the podium and, well, I don't even know why I showed up. We're winning this thing every year. I don't even know why I'm here. Just the hubris of a Nick Saban to kind of stick out his chest a little bit. But, you know, it's never going to happen. He answers the questions. Yeah. He answered the question about his quarterbacks today, and thank God somebody asked him. But, again, Mike, he's deflecting. He continues to say they are both competing for the job. And, of course, we're talking about Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Do you believe that, or you think he's got a starter?
I mean, it's very interesting because nobody knows but Nick and his offensive coaching staff, Coach Dable and such, because you got a guy that can really do the job. all season long, has won tons of games, and then you've got a guy who, when the chips are down for the other guy, came in and did something the other guy couldn't do. You know, Tagovailoa was much more accurate throwing the ball than Hurts was. But either way, you got, just like we have with Fields and Fromm, both guys are going to be on the field.
Yep.
Both guys are going to see action. I'm not a big fan of it. I've always liked one guy to be the first amongst equals. You know, I mean, DJ Shockley, I think at the end of David Green's run, you were in a tough spot because Green had been a guy setting all those records in the SEC, but yet you knew that Shockley brought something else to the party that David Green couldn't do. So it's difficult. I think coaches, some get away with it, some struggle with it. Like Spurrier. Spurrier had the good, the bad, and the ugly at Florida. You remember those times when you'd be pulling guys in and out, he'd have two or three quarterbacks at a time, you know? So I think in some cases you got to be really mentally tough as a QB to handle, you know, when you get jerked out of the game like that.
No doubt about it, guys. Coming up, by the way, we've got plenty of interviews for you guys, as you'll get a chance to hear from Jeremy Pruitt later on in the show. Also, Adam Zucker from CBS Sports is set to join us a little bit later on. We've got a few player interviews set up as well, so make sure you're here all afternoon. We're here until 7 o'clock. Our last day, by the way, SEC Media Days. Tomorrow we're back in studio. I believe Rick and John will be here for one more day,
right.
I believe. But nevertheless, lots of stuff going on today here at SEC Media Days. It's Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia.
Now, you said it, you know, as far as, you know, could you see Nick Saban coming out there and going, nothing to say. Boom, drop the mic and walk
out.
But again, because he's obviously earned that with the unbelievable job he's done there, then you've got some guys that are kind of feeling their way around the SEC. You know, Chad Morris talking to the media. You talked about Matt Luke from Ole Miss.
Yep.
You know, kind of looking around like, you know, am I supposed to be here? You know, and Jeremy Pruitt's a guy, I read a couple articles this afternoon saying, well, you know, he's not exactly that after-dinner speaker, or he's not the guy that's going to be on social media. Look, some coaches can play that game. Other coaches have people that can do that for him. But I do think at the end of all the Butch Jones nonsense, and we'll see. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding. But I think that Jeremy Pruitt is a football coach, man, old school, which is kind of an anachronism in these days and a day and age. He's not going to wow you at the podium. That's just not what he does.
It's not. But if he wins games, I don't think anybody in Tennessee will care.
I mean, like I said, I mean, do you want a guy that's going to come out there and start spinning plates, or do you want a guy that's going to win 10 games for you in Knoxville?
Yeah, I'll tell you this, too. You talk about Matt Luke. His dad played at Ole Miss. He is an Ole Miss guy through and through.
Oh, totally. You could just, you know, you could almost like see him sitting up with the wife in the candelabra.
Yes.
and the tablecloths in the Grove, just be tapping the keg as opposed to coaching the team.
Well, and, you know, the fact that he was the interim guy and then he gets the job and he was the O-line guy, I just think, you know, sometimes these moves, people think it's a stopgap. I don't know. I think he might be there long term because that is his passion. That's where he's always wanted to be. Now, Joe Moorhead is an interesting guy, and Miss State is here today because he was the guy that was running the offense at Penn State, and now he takes over the program at Miss State, and he feels like they got a lot of weapons, and he does, and he's got probably, Mike, you know, the second best quarterback in the conference coming back,
right?
And Fitzgerald. I mean, so I think that's a team. Again, we'll talk as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm.
But Miss State, do not discount what Miss State is. They got two studs defensively on that D line to get after the quarterback. Sweat's one of them. I voted for him already as one of my defensive linemen for pre-all conference. I just think they're going to be an interesting team. Now, are they better than Alabama? No, but I do think that they can be in every game this year because of their offense. And this guy, and I'm talking about Joe Moorhead, he's a very good play caller. If you didn't watch any of Penn State's games last year or the last couple of seasons, he is a very good play caller. Now, some people say, well, he had Saquon Barkley. That may be true, but I also think he likes to mix things up and keeps you off balance.
You got a ballot? I didn't get a ballot.
Oh, it's on computer. It's online.
Do I have to log in?
Yeah. They sent it one. They sent you one.
I don't think I got one, man. I don't think let people like me vote on these things, bro. How am I really going to give you like three or four offensive linemen on this?
Well, they give them to you. I'll
vote for all. Oh, really? Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah, kind of like Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they say basically pick five guys.
Oh, good, good.
And they give them to you.
That's good. Give me those options. Fill in the blanks. Not my strong suit for that.
But, no.
Exciting.
No, I agree with you. I mean, but, come on. Who's going to know all that?
We were talking to a Missouri fan who happens to live in Roswell who made the trip down here.
Sure did.
And again, I'm not sure how long Coach Odom is going to be at Missouri. Might not even make it to the end of this season. But he's got Derek Dooley as his offensive coordinator. One thing we talked about, and we were just talking about it with that Mizzou fan, Drew Locke looks like an NFL quarterback.
No doubt.
He's got the size. He's got, obviously, you know, you saw it last year at Sanford Stadium. He's got the arm strength. So come back, have a decent year, throw for a couple touchdowns, and off to the NFL. But can they do anything on defense? And how much does that scare you? Because they do have some weapons, certainly. Playmakers are running back and a wide receiver when Georgia goes there early in the season.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. For more info on Kia, by the way, our title sponsor, make sure you go to KiaDealers.com to check out more information. Hey, back at the studio, Craig's running the board. Ford on-site engineer, Eric, and Bo is producing the show today. Big shout-out to Sam Tarley as well. He's running around here helping out and has been doing that all week, so we appreciate him. Right now, though, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, man, let's talk quickly about this All-Star game. 10 home runs, Mike. That was the big storyline. Mm. But you mentioned it. Astros third baseman Alex Bregman named the All-Star MVP. He hits the go-ahead home run in the 10th inning. It went extras, by the way, if you turned it off. Right. Or maybe you fell asleep last night.
Yeah, Scooter Gennett. Actually, a couple of Reds went yard. Joey Votto went yard. So the National League came slinking back into this thing. They forced extras. The good news was this year, you had other pitchers. A lot of guys immediately got on social media. Joe Buck talked about it on the broadcast. Both the National League and the American League had two other pitchers ready to go. I think Garrett Cole, who used to be a Pirate now with the Astros.
Just in case.
He was one. So they weren't going to find themselves in that situation that the American, the National League did years ago, which got us in that ridiculous Bud Selig overreaction of making that decide home field in the World Series. That said, you mentioned it, Bregman and then Springer going back-to-back, the Astros off a Dodger reliever, so a little deja vu from the World Series. But good times being an Astros fan right now, man.
Let's hear from Bregman on his All-Star experience.
Just an incredible two years for the Houston Astros. It's been a blast. Being able to just be on this field with such great players on both sides and have my family and friends in attendance. My dad grew up here, actually sat on Ted Williams' lap, so this is really special to us.
That's very cool. It is. And you're right. I mean, this is why the Dodgers, and if you missed it last night, Mike and I were kind of making fun of the whole Machado thing, but he is going to the Dodgers. But this is why the Dodgers are all in. They know their window is right now. They were close last year. Astros went out. They win it,
right.
And the Dodgers are like, look, we're good enough to get back there. And you've got to revive Matt Kemp, who's playing out of his mind, by the way.
There's another guy they had Mike Forsound last night out in the outfield. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, we had him for a minute, and the guy comes back and he loses basically a quarter of his own body weight and comes back and really has been a catalyst and a nucleus, if you will, for the Dodgers, as John Smoltz brought up last night on the broadcast.
So with that, man, now it's back to regular season baseball, and we'll see what happens with the Braves. We'll be talking more about this tomorrow. And also, Joe Morgan, Hall of Famer Joe Morgan, is set to join us tomorrow on the show, so make sure you tune in for that. Meanwhile, today here at SEC Media Days, Nick Saban, listen to what he said about his quarterback situation when asked about the quarterback situation.
I think the number one thing that you'll want to talk about is the quarterback controversy that you'd love to create, that you've already created, that you will continue to create. And I will tell you the same thing exists there. It's still to be determined as to who's going to play quarterback for Alabama. So you can ask all the questions about it, but it's still to be determined.
I mean, what were you expecting Nick Saban to say? I mean, I told you. I mean, you guys, the media is already making this into something. I'm not going to let that happen. Not on my watch. You have to wait and see.
So Coach Saban basically poo-pooing anybody asking questions before the presser got started. Hey, sitting down with us right now here at SEC Media Days, none other than DJ Shockley. Shock, you believe this? You
what's
believe,
up, man? What's going on?
What's happening?
What's up, man?
What's up, Joe?
Do you
can't
believe?
Can't call me.
You believe Saban when he says this, man? Like, they're in a competition. There's nothing to see here.
Every coach is doing that right now. You look around the league, every coach that has some kind of battle, they have no idea who the quarterback is.
Right.
They have an idea, but they don't want you to know. They want everybody to continue to have to worry about two guys having to compete for the job. But I think in Alabama's kind of stance, they actually do have a little issue. I think Tua and Jalen, you're looking at a guy who's 26-2. You say, how can you supplant a guy who's 26-2?
Right.
But then you look at Tua, you say, well, this dude put together something in that second half.
Right.
Only it's a half of, you know, thing that you can see, but I still think both those guys are talented enough to win games for Alabama, but it depends on who do you think has the biggest upside. And it's hard to say that Tua may have the biggest upside because of, you know, what he did in that championship game.
Right. And here's the thing. It's funny you rolled in because we were just talking about you. Hope your ears were burning.
What?
I know I was mentioning when David Green was rolling through the end of his career at Georgia, you brought a different skill set. And a lot of Georgia fans, remember, because we talked about it on the radio at the time, are going, want to get Shock in there.
Yep.
How do you maintain, first off, I guess you got to have a strong mental attitude because you don't know when you're going in or going out. How do you get into a rhythm?
It's tough. It's tough because I remember during that time, the thing I struggled with was trying to do too much. Because I only got two or three series here or there, I said, when I get in there, I got to go try to score. I got to make try to make a big play. And when that didn't happen, you forced the issue, and then you end up making more mistakes. So that's the kind of mental part you play with yourself as a guy who's switching in and out. But at the end of the day, all they want is first downs. They want you to move the chains. They want you to make good decisions. And if you're doing that, then you got a chance to stay on the field. Even if you don't score, this guy takes care of the football. And I think at the end of the day, that's what matters to these coaches is, yeah, we want touchdowns, but a guy who can take care of the football, who can move the chains, who can distribute the football in the right way, get us out of a bad play into a good play, those are the things that they really want to happen for their team and for a guy who's going to be at the helm, who's the quarterback.
You know, I'm really, really happy right now.
You should be, brother.
Because Shock is finally going to take us out for a steak dinner. Because they announced today that Shock is going to be doing SEC games. Give me some, man. Give me some.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations.
I'm just so proud of you. You know, just like, you know, it's like I started with Pollock. I gave this guy a shot. And now they just leave us in the dust, Carl. They leave us. So, hope just remember the little people, TV man.
So, yeah. So what's the deal? How many games? What's the situation?
I got a full season, man. I got a full season, possibly bowl game and all. So I'll be doing studio stuff on Thursdays with my man, Mr. College Football, Tony Bonhart.
Okay.
On Thursdays, then we'll fly to wherever the game is that Friday, and we got a game every week. So I'm with my man Dave Neal and
Don
Davenport's on the sideline. So we got a good crew. I'm looking forward to it.
It is former Bulldog, Bulldog for Life.
Awesome.
DJ Shockley, now TV star with us here on the, again, live at the Omni here at the SEC Media Days. Here's the thing, though. The Fromm Fields dynamic. You don't have to worry about burning that red shirt. They're going to get Fromm out there almost every game. We know that. And Fields, I should say.
Yeah.
How is that going to play out to your point of how it made it work or not work when you were there with David Green?
That's another different dynamic, too, is both those guys have the same type of – I want to say they have the same type of – not athleticism, but they both have the same type of energy about them. Both guys compete. Both guys go hard. Fromm is a guy who's a rat, who's always watching film. He's studying. He's competing. And then I had a chance to go sit down with Fields when he came in as a freshman, when he came in January. And he talked about, yeah, I want to come. I want to play. I definitely want to, you know, be a part of the system. But he said, at the end of the day, I want to be the guy.
Right.
I want to run this squad. And I think it's good for the red shirt rule. They're going to get a chance to play without possibly having to burn their red shirt. But Fields is a different guy. He's not just, we're going to see what he's about. This guy can play at this level. He's big. He can make all the throws.
Right.
And that different dimension, man. He can get out. He can make some guys miss. We saw it in the spring game. He had that athleticism. And he can sling it all around the field, make every throw as a freshman already. So these kids come in way more prepared now to play at college as a true freshman. It's different than when I came out. We only had two or three guys maybe who can play. But now you got all these kids who can come in and play now.
This O-line for the Dogs, as we talked to DJ Shockley, you know, it's hard for us to say it'll be the best O-line. But, man, when you look at the chart,
right? Yeah.
I'm looking at number one guard,
yeah,
number one tackle, number one, number one, number one. Yeah. I'm talking about in the country.
Yeah.
This could potentially be the best O-line we've seen at Georgia.
And the great thing about it is all these guys have experience. All these guys have played and been under the lights. They've been under the scrutiny. They played in the big game. So they understand what it takes to play at an elite level. And you got a center who's been there, who's done it, who's had a couple of different guys who've been behind me, Lamont Gayer, who's the guy who can orchestrate everything you want up front.
Right.
And then you got guys to the side of you who've played as well, who've got that experience. Kendall Baker, Ben Cleveland. Those guys are going to open holes for those new backs to create. Now, those backs, they can create space of their own, but you're still going to need an offensive line that can create some space, can move some guys up front. Mm-hmm. And then it's good for whoever's back there, quarterback, to make sure, hey, I got an offensive line that can see things that I can see as well. That's going to dictate where I go with the football.
You got Zamir White, Zeus, once he gets healthy, but you got DeAndre Swift and Holyfield. The thing we always talk about, and it gets Kirby upset when he's asked about it, tight end, because you got the wide receivers. But
yeah.
Nada had so much hype about him when he came in. They don't really use the guy.
Yeah, Isaac Nada is a threat of his own. Charlie Warner is a threat of his own. Mm-hmm. They have the ability to be dynamic this season. I think they will be. I think you have to use these guys more. Not if it's just stretching the field, more in the red zone. They can be dynamic players as well. They can open up stuff for Terry Godwin on the outside. You can open up stuff for Mecole Hardman. They have the offensive line, the backs, the quarterbacks to get it done offensively and put up big numbers this season. And the tight ends have to be a bigger part of it. Both those guys had 9 catches last year. That's crazy. For tight ends at Georgia, that doesn't happen too often. I expect them to be a bigger part of it. And Jim Chaney's coaching the tight ends now too. So expect him to get his boys a rock.
Congratulations, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
On the success, and you know, we got nothing but love for you. We'll be, and obviously, man, Shock's a big part of our radio station. He does Falcon stuff for us. You hear him all the time. But thank you for stopping by, because everybody's clamoring to get their hands on Shock in here.
I appreciate it, fellas. Always good to see y'all.
Thank
man.
You, man.
Y'all keep my man Squid on the control over here?
Trying. Hey, pretty much. Trying.
All right, man. Look at DJ. Baby's all grown up.
All right, brother. All right, fellas. Appreciate
it. You got it, man.
Hey, coming up, man, it's live at SEC Media Days. We'll have more with Nick Saban from Nick Saban. But when we come back, Mike and I have not had a chance to talk about who got the best of this trade that went down today. Kawhi Leonard is gone. Where did he go? Who got him, and what did they give up? It's next on Dukes and Bell.
The Dogs barking in the first half.
Dukes and Bell are at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days.
Live.
The SEC plays here.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, coming up next hour here on the program. We'll talk some NFL blitz. As a matter of fact, one team, the rookies reporting to camp. It's almost time for the Falcons to report.
Right on.
July 27th, we'll get into that. And also, a general manager headed to jail in the NFL. Stay tuned for that story as well. Hey, we did not get a chance, as DJ Shockley jumped in and joined us here early in the program, to really talk about the trade that everybody's talking about in the NBA. Again, Hawks are in talks, allegedly, with the Oklahoma City Thunder to move Dennis Schroeder, potentially. Mike Muscala would also be involved in the deal, allegedly, and they're talking about trading for Carmelo Anthony. It would be a buyout, guys. Melo right. would not be a Hawk long-term, and the Hawks would be happy. I think Oklahoma City would be happy, and more importantly, Melo, because he'd get a chance to do what he wants to do and not have to worry about being traded somewhere. But the bigger story, as of right now, is Kawhi Leonard is finally out of San Antonio. Along with Danny Green, he has been traded to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan. I think DeRozan's a really good player. When healthy, he's not Kawhi Leonard. But, Mike, I think the Spurs won in this deal because they got a disgruntled player out of the organization. They got an all-star in return in DeMar DeRozan. And you're giving up a guy who was unhappy and has made it clear he does not want to be in Toronto. So, for Toronto, this is really a rebuild. This is really the start, in my opinion, of we weren't good enough over the last 5 years to get past LeBron. We're not good, better than the Sixers or Boston currently. And now you're trading away arguably, I think, their best player in Rosen. Where do you go? Because Kawhi Leonard after this season's gone.
Well, I mean, unless Kawhi wants to stay in Toronto. And, again, remember, they fired a coach that wins Coach of the Year. They couldn't win the big one. I mean, it's kind of similar to what we had with the Hawks. I mean, you got to at some point realize you got to hit the reset button. So here's the deal. Kawhi Leonard, if you convince him to stay, you can build around him. If he splits, you just hit the reset, and you're going to basically be doing what we're doing right now. So you're going to be in rebuild mode. You never got there with Lowry and with DeRozan. And so in the case of DeRozan, he goes to a place. Now, again, you're talking about, I mean, from a quality of life issue, no disrespect to where you grew up, but Toronto was one hell of a town.
No doubt.
But if Pop and he see eye to eye, and there's no reason to think they won't, he's a guy that can maybe do something special in his career, because what is he right now? To me, he's a guy that shirks the big moment. He's a guy that steps away from the spotlight. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, somebody to take the shot for the Raptors down the stretch, and he wasn't that guy in the playoffs the last couple of years.
No, and I like DeMar's game. I really do. I think he's a really good player. But, again, he's not a top five all-NBA kind of
thought
player.
He was a top 10 guy, but I don't think he's top 10 right now based on the Valentine.
Well, you could base that on just the playoff performance, but – this is interesting, and again, the Spurs, they didn't have any leverage, guys. They really didn't.
Right.
You know, you had Kawhi saying, I'm not going to play. I want to go somewhere else. Then Kawhi's like, but I don't want to go there. So when they get a deal in place now, you know, there's some people saying, well, he may not even play in Toronto. Understand, once a trade like this goes through, then the league takes over. And now you're talking about Kawhi Leonard losing lots of money if he does not show up and play. So I think that's unlikely.
So, guys, just real quick, I know some people were hitting us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line and on Twitter and such, going, well, I don't understand why we wouldn't use Carmelo Anthony. Guys, you don't want Carmelo Anthony. It's not going to be part of us or the Hawks long term, as you brought up earlier. And also, guys, you're saving money. Now, yeah, you're going to just dump that $23 million or whatever he's making this year, but it's still cheaper than having to hold on to Dennis Schroeder, who you're also trying to get rid of because he's got 3 years left on his deal.
It's guaranteed.
And then you're throwing Muscala in there. So you're looking to dump Schroeder. It's a salary dump that's mutually beneficial for both teams.
Yeah, and I know somebody, you know, one guy who's been very critical of Travis Slink to me, saying this has been a bad offseason for Slink. I don't understand how you could even say that. There is a plan that's in place. There have been better guys who've averaged 19 or more than Dennis Schroeder who have been traded because they didn't fit
right.
Moving forward. This isn't about, well, he gave us 19 points. If it doesn't fit with what you're doing moving forward, then you need to move on from him. And I think that's kind of been the idea since we kind of got, the word from people inside of that organization that this was probably going to happen. With mm-hmm. that said, I have no problems with the Hawks making this move whatsoever again. And by the way, somebody said, did you see Trae Young was named, what was it, second team summer league, second team all summer league? With all the things that were said and everybody freaking out and panicking, it means nothing, big picture, but it also means that he played a lot better than a lot of people thought he did. You know, at the end of the day, when it's all said, Trae Young was okay in summer league. He wasn't spectacular. He wasn't the MVP. But, again, I don't even know what that means when you talk about summer league.
I mean, look, we're not going to know who's got the better of the deal until, what, 2 or 3 years down the road.
That's it.
At the earliest. If Luka Doncic comes out and he's ready-made and he looks like a pro, then, okay, maybe we botched it. But Trae Young, look, he's not everybody's cup of tea, and I can understand why some people don't like those comparisons to Steph Curry. But the guy was the leading scorer, leading assist man in college basketball. That's got to mean something.
Right.
So let's give this guy a little oxygen. Let this man develop into the role. Again, he's going to have a chance to lead this team because there's nobody else there on the squad as this rebuild continues, to be quite honest with you. But he did make John Collins a better player, at least in the summer league. If he can do that in a regular season, we'll have something.
He's going to make everybody better. He's a really talented passer. He's got great vision. If you didn't see the Kobe Bryant film breakdown, and it's out there, by the way, of Trae Young, it's really impressive. I mean, if you respect Kobe, 5 championships, and what he was able to accomplish, he looks at Trae's game and basically says, here are the areas I think he needs to get better at, and he's going to make everybody around him better. It's really impressive stuff. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at SEC Media Days. We got plenty more to get to. NFL Blitz on the way, and we'll talk to Mike Conte as well. It is that time where we start talking about the next match for Atlanta United coming up this weekend. And we've got our 5 Stripes preview coming up with Mike Conte next hour as well.
Yeah, man. But up next, we've got a little NFL blitz. And the conversation we had yesterday, Carl, about the Brandon Cooks deal, what it means for what Julio might want or maybe what he might not want. You could make the argument that Julio's last contract was actually a better deal than Brandon Cooks' contract extension. We'll explain all that for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.